Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Zach Clinton, and I'll be your host today as we welcome a true pillar of Christian faith and encouragement, Max Licato. Max is a pastor, speaker, and best-selling author whose words have uplifted millions around the world. Over the course of his remarkable career, he's written more than 40 books, sold over 145 million copies, and he's earned numerous awards for his writing. He's even been dubbed America's Pastor by Christianity Today for his ability to make deep biblical truths accessible to everyone. Today, we're diving into his upcoming new release, Tame Your Thoughts, Three Tools to Renew Your Mind and Transform Your Life. This new book is both spiritual and practical, offering tools to help each of us overcome the specific areas where we struggle the most. I'm excited for all the insight Max has to share, so let's get started. Max, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Man, it's my privilege, Zach. What an honor. I just hold you in such high regard, the accomplishments of your life and the difference that you're making. And I am very, very grateful for this privilege of talking about what is, I think, a very important topic. And it's an exciting topic to me. And that is just improving our life by improving our thoughts.
Max, I can't wait to dive into this conversation. Myself, my entire family, my dad, we all have such a deep love and appreciation for you and the incredible work that God has done in and throughout your life and in and throughout your leadership and your family. I'm grateful for this time to meet you virtually, and I'm excited to unpack, like you said, this new book, Tame Your Thoughts, today. But before we dive in, a fun piece up front. I saw on social media, I followed you for years, you got some new ink on you as of this recording coming out of the Easter season, right? To tell us that. Tell us about the new ink, Max.
Oh, my goodness. It's a wonderful story. So, yeah, I'm 70 now, 70 years old. I'm loving my eighth decade. I'm just loving it. I'm feeling renewed excitement about meeting my Savior. So many people I know, that's when they go to heaven, is in their eighth decade. And to be honest, I'm super excited. I would that everybody could have the old age that I'm having. Every day just seems really fun. When I turned 70, I realized that at the age of 20 is when I began following Jesus and trusted Him as my Savior. And so I circled, I did a little digging. It took me a while. I couldn't remember the exact day, but I found it in a Bible that I had purchased, March 12th, 1975. And so I decided that on or close to that March 12th, 1975, that would be my golden anniversary as a saved saint. And I needed to commemorate it. And a favorite word, I don't know if it's my most favorite, but a favorite word in the Bible for me is what Jesus said when he hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished." And in Greek, it's one word, tetelestai. And tetelestai is a wonderful word. It has a variety of meanings, but one of the meanings is paid in full. And so when I was 20 years old, I was already a drunk, Zach. I was a misogynist. I was a racist. I was just a train off the tracks. I didn't think God could forgive a jerk like me. But I didn't have a plan B. I knew what alcohol had done to my older brother. I saw what it was doing to my older brother, and I saw what it had done to many people in our family. And if I didn't make a change, I was headed for disaster. And so I trusted Christ. I walked down the aisle when the invitation was given, and I trusted Christ. And so to mark that decision, 50 years later, I had that word, tetelestai, tattooed on the inside of my right forearm. And I'm just having so much fun with this.
I love that.
Nobody expects a 70-year-old pastor to get a tattoo, right? And people notice it. And I see
That's
a few
right.
of them arch an eyebrow, and is that really the right thing to do? But I tell the story, and I don't really care if they care. I mean, I really don't. But I have a testimony I like to share, and there's no word I'd rather have tattooed. But what matters is not that it's on my skin, but that it's tattooed on my heart, and that's what I care for other people.
Max, what I love, and tetelestai, right, as we coming out of the Easter season right now, just the words of Christ, it is finished, but he is not. And I think, you know, so many of us, we hear that message that, you know, although none of us are worthy of his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, he still calls us worth it. It's not something we have to earn. It's something that's freely given. Max, as we kind of transition toward our topic of conversation today, really geared toward mental health, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I think everybody could acknowledge that the last several years, 5 to 6 years, really since the COVID-19 pandemic, it's been a tough go on everybody. Mental health has really become the buzzword. We've seen an influx in things like anxiety, depression, addiction, suicidality, and so much more. It's just been a tough go. That being said, you obviously have kind of your mind and your heart set on this idea of thinking. And I would love just to start out by asking, what really was the catalyst for this new book? And I love how your team put it. When did you start thinking about thinking?
Mm-hmm. The statistics that you just acknowledged really caught my attention. 42% of high schoolers experience severe levels or admit to feelings of severe levels of personal sadness. 22% of high schoolers have seriously contemplated suicide. Those are heavy statistics, and I use high schoolers as the example. All adults, even I think 44% of adults talk about their anxiety and their depression as the dominant emotion of their life. That's terrible. But for high schoolers, these are kids. These are young people. These are people that you help there on the Liberty University campus. These are young people in their coming out of teenage years, going into their 20s. What a tragedy, right, Zach? That during a season of life that should be so full of hope and promise, 1 out of 5 has seriously contemplated suicide. When I saw those statistics and began to try to follow more carefully those emotional and mental health issues, I began to think about what can we do? How can we help people? And I realized, Zach, that really, as a pastor, that's what we do, you know, as pastors, and you do as in therapy and in counseling. But what we're trying to do is help people think in a healthy way, in a godly way. And kind of our theme verse is, you know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12:2. And so God will help us here. He will help us not be conformed or pressed into the mold of society, but to be transformed, to be enjoy a metamorphosis of sorts of our own brain, in which He's helping us learn to think in the way that God intended for us to think. Zach, I don't know if it's just because I've been thinking about this, but it does seem that a lot of people are thinking about thinking. I do know when you don't notice a Volkswagen until you buy one, and then you see one everywhere. But would that be your perspective? Do you think that we are doing a better job right now about helping people learn to manage their thought life? Or am I just imagining this?
No, I most definitely do. My thoughts naturally drift toward, you know, of course, with mental health really taking the forefront of a lot of people's attention because of the challenges and the issues so many people have faced over the last several years. What I'm noticing, though, is that even the mental health space is beginning to shift away from, you know, prevention or preventative care, where it's like alleviating human suffering, because we know this, pain is inevitable in this life. It will come in some way, shape, or form. We're going to have to understand that it's not about what happens to us. It's more so about how we view and how we respond to those things. I think we're starting to see a shift in mental health care and pastoral care, now more so toward a promotional state where we're trying to promote things like resilience, like well-being, like wellness, like flourishing and more, which I think why your book matters for such a time as this, Max, is because it all comes down to our thinking. And I want to touch on this because as we talk about, a lot of people, when they go through challenges and difficulties, they can almost begin to develop these mental ruts, or the big word in our space is rumination, which the greatest definition for the word of rumination that I've heard is the pathological obsession with our pain, right? We get so fixated on the challenge that we then, in a sense, it robs us of finding any ways out toward a solution. Max, for you and what you're seeing, maybe in your own personal life, maybe in those that you have the opportunity of serving, how do these negative thought patterns and processes rob us of the peace that God created for us?
Yeah, the therapists that I talk to and the neuroscientists that I've read, and one of my best friends is a neuroscientist, and Lee Warren is just a great guy, and he and I've learned so much reading his books. But that word rut, which I would have assumed is a pedestrian word, it truly is a technical term that neuroscientists use to describe the way our brain is shaped. We are learning a lot, aren't we? Neuroplasticity is a buzzword right now. And well, it should be. I don't think this is just a trend. I think we're really learning more about how the brain works. Neuroplasticity suggests that our brains can be developed or shaped as we go through life. They're constantly being reshaped by the signals that fire back and forth within our brain. Well, this is a biblical concept. We've already quoted Romans 12:2. We'll do it again. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so there is the possibility of being transformed by the renewal of our mind. And these ruts that the neuroscientists talk about are simply these indentions within the actual putty of our brain, the gray matter of our brain, where the signals have fired back and forth and back and forth. The reason that I always brush my teeth with my right hand is because apparently there's a rut in my brain that just tells me I don't have to think about it. It's right there. And that's wonderful when it comes to brushing my teeth. It's not helpful when it comes to dealing with guilt or dealing with stress or dealing with anxiety or dealing with racism. It's not helpful. What we're hoping to accomplish, I think, as therapists and as pastors, we're trying to help people see you don't have to think like you're thinking the rest of your life. There is a new way of thinking that awaits you. And as believers, we believe that the secret sauce of reshaped minds and brains is the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's not left us alone. He made our brain. He can retrain our brain. And this is such great news. This is such great news. I know I'm preaching to the choir as I'm talking to somebody who spends hours every day talking one-on-one with people. It's just such liberating news to help people see, okay, I know you're battling this anxiety now, but don't assume you'll have to battle it for the rest of your life. Again, God made your brain. He can retrain your brain. We're talking about creating, reshaping the ruts that are inside our heads.
A lot of my work, right, is based out of cognitive behavioral therapy or acceptance and commitment therapy, which is really one and the same, believing that our thoughts influence our emotions and our emotions influence our behavior. And so three C's that I kind of offer my clients all the time are catch, check, and change, very similar to what you just mentioned. Or I do feel, flush, and feed, right? So it's just being able to identify what are you feeling in that moment. How can we begin to flush it once we have, in a sense, checked it against the truth of God's word? And then as we change it, how can we begin to feed that positive thought? I want to ask you this because you keep referring back to scripture, and there's so many scriptures that come to my mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, like you already mentioned, taking every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I love Philippians 4:8, right? Whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Max, how can we begin to really test our thoughts against the truth of God's word so that way we can actually step into the perfect and pleasing will that God has for our lives that you can find in the latter half of Romans 12:2?
You and I have several things in common. One of them is we love baseball. We love baseball. Now, you are far more accomplished in your athletic career than I ever even hoped to be, but this might surprise you. I was a catcher. You were a pitcher. I was a catcher. I played catcher in Little League. I played catcher in Pony League. I played catcher in JV baseball. I played catcher on the varsity team, although I didn't get to start as much as I'd hoped. We had a real hot dog who was ahead of me. And you're wondering where I'm going with all this. Hang on. And then I played catcher in college in an intramural baseball league. I say all that to say I have squatted behind home plate for literally thousands of innings, hundreds of thousands of pitches. And you know what I noticed, Zach? I noticed that the size of home plate never changed. It just never changed. I might have wanted a narrower plate when I saw a particular batter walking up, or when I went to bat, I might have requested a wider plate because of my bad batting skills. But all of baseball agrees on the size of home plate. That's true in Dominican Republic, Cuba, Japan, MLB. Home plate stays the same. Now, I really think one of the challenges, especially for young people today, is that they have been taught there's no home plate. You be you. I be me. What fits you? You do what you want. I mean, those are the buzzwords, right? And boy, do they sound good. Oh, my goodness. They sound so good. Until you start to put them to practice. Somebody says, what's the destiny of life? Well, I don't know. I kind of think, or I don't know. I have an idea. And there's no authoritative answer. Until you have an authoritative answer to where you can go for truth, then your mind is going to really struggle. I'm sorry for a long-winded answer and probably a silly illustration, but home plate, Scripture is our home plate. Scripture is our home plate. When Max Lucado was struggling, could God forgive a jerk like me? The authoritative answer is Romans 8 and verse 1. So now there is no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I could either believe my drinking buddies who said, we're kind of too far gone, Max. One of them actually told me, he said, I think we're too far gone. And he was in despair like I was. Or I could trust the pastor who taught me Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I had a choice. Every human being has a choice. So the most important decision we make in managing our thoughts is, by what standard are we going to measure our thoughts? That's why Scripture is so extremely important. As a therapist, I'm curious, how would a therapist help somebody if they didn't have Scripture? I've wondered about that. What do you tell? What do therapists tell people?
I have no clue, because then it just becomes behavioral management, right, or modification, rather than the spiritual transformation that we're all seeking to experience in life. And we know this. We as people, we don't have all the answers to hope or change or power or peace, but we know the one who does. And that's the one thing that, as a Christian counselor, I'm so grateful that we have the hope of the gospel to stand on. I don't know how people do it without the good news of the gospel and without the hope of Jesus.
A lot of my buddies are in the same age group as well. And I'm watching some of them really kind of freak out as they see the end come. And they're on this huge bucket list quest. I've got to get this and this and this done, or this and this bought, or this and this accomplished before our time runs out. That's what their worldview has taught them. Now, they're good guys. They're good guys. I love them. But we have honest conversations about this, and I tell them, I say, you know what, I don't have a bucket list, because my greatest life is my next life. I really believe that. My greatest life is my next life. So if I get to see, I don't know, the Grand Canyon before I die, wonderful. If I don't, oh my goodness, is the perspective going to be even greater after I die? So it really, it just changes everything, the worldview that you embrace. That's why we need counselors like you and your dad and thousands of others who are not just sharing good ideas or barstool wisdom or bowling alley, you know, thoughts, but you're giving us truth and you're teaching people to think in a way that's truly healthy.
Well, we so appreciate you, Max. You know, my friend, as we kind of near a close to our conversation today, I want to end this way, because I know there might be an audience member out there who's struggling with discouragement or disappointment, maybe even in a season of despair. I know you've been there. You've felt those seasons in your own past. But I remember you have your wife asked you a question once that really kind of changed everything. Is God in this anywhere? And I would love for you just to leave us with a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation to that audience member out there who's feeling in a similar season as to what you have found in your 50 years of ministry, walking alongside of Jesus, who you have found our God to be.
The story that you're referring to is when I was just listing a litany of problems and challenges to my wife, and instead of saying, oh, it's going to be okay, she said that. She said, is God in this anywhere? And what I had done, Zach, is I was not consulting God. I was not thinking about God. I was not referencing God. It was really self-centered anxiety. I would encourage all of you in the times that you face a Goliath-level challenge to remember what young David said when he went up against Goliath. He said, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Friend, this battle does not belong to you. It does not. The battle belongs to the Lord. And He will help you as you face this challenge. He really will. And as you deal with your thoughts, you'll see that your actions will improve. Behavior is a result of belief. And so if you want to change your behavior, as all of us do, go back to your belief system and let Scripture inform your belief system, and let God begin to reshape your thoughts. It really is that fundamental. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is fundamental because it's a challenge. We've all developed bad thought habits, but God can help us develop healthy ones that will lead to a healthier life.
Max, I know you have a lot of resources that can help with those thought patterns and thought management. The Max Licato Encouraging Word podcast, Upwards Radio, Fresh Hope YouTube channel, as well as, again, the upcoming release of this new book, Tame Your Thoughts. Max, where can our audience go to find out more about you?
MaxLicato.com is the best place. We try to let that be the collection basin for everything we do.
Make sure you go to that one-stop shop, MaxLicato.com. Max, my friend, from my dad and I and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we love and appreciate you, sir. Thank you for joining me.
Love you and all the very best.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AECC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.